Ah, Mrs. Have a seat. It is Mrs., I presume.
Yes. Thank you for your time, Mr. Chambers. How has he been doing?
Oh, we'll get onto that shortly. How have you been? How has the past year treated you?
To be frank, Mr. Chambers, I am not sure what that has to do with my son's education or his progress under your tutelage.
Of course, of course. It will help me put his progress into context, to be a better guide to the little tyke.
Well, I admire your diligence, Mr. Chambers.
So?
The year has been perfectly adequate, as have I.
Oh, well, marvellous. I'm delighted to hear it. And the father? Is he giving, proper instruction to the boy?
He died. In the war.
Oh. I'm sorry. You are a handsome woman to be a widow so young. Well, I hope my example is providing a masculine template for your son. A boy needs discipline, after all, whether sprouting from inside or imposed from without.
Of course. Thank you.
You live on Garboldsham Road in one of the townhouses. It must be lonely. Such a large house and only the two of you.
Yes, well, I thought we were here to talk about my son, Mr. Chambers.
Yes, yes, of course, your son. I think it would be a waste of both our times to go over his grades. They are perfectly adequate. However, there is one point of friction. He's not very popular with the other children. His presence alone is disruptive. Though one positive, he doesn't say much. Do you, boy?
No, sir.
Regardless, his grasp of the written word is notable. It would be commendable if the subject matter he chose was more, appropriate. Are you giving any direction to his reading?
No, he reads what he finds. I have no wish to restrict his curiosity.
Thank you, Mother.
And are you teaching him Russian?
Yes.
Well, his literacy is ahead of the other children, though he refuses to copy. He improvises endlessly, despite the many corrections I would want to apply. It is a shame I can't be more forceful. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Though with your son's condition, I suppose it is unavoidable. It must be difficult at home, without a man there to build some structure.
Mr. Chambers, my domestic situation is exactly that. Domestic. We're here to talk about my son's education. That is your domain, is it not?
Yes, the boy. Have you read any of his compositions? Actually, if I may be impertinent, did you help him? Perhaps these are your musings.
No, Mr. Chambers, I did not.
Well, there are some troubling sections. Rather macabre. Chases in motor vehicles. Gory resurrections that border on the blasphemous.
Well, I have to get my inspiration from somewhere, sir.
Be quiet, boy. I'm talking to your mother.
Yes, sir.
There's also his rather disturbing obsession with blood. Have you noticed that at home at all?
Well, he is a haemophiliac, Mr. Chambers. That is why we spare the rod.
It would make such a mess pouring out red everywhere you look. That would be no good for anyone, sir.
I didn't give you permission to speak, boy.
You know, sir, I could immortalize you in script with my words. Carve your name onto the page. I'm sure you'd enjoy that, sir.
Be quiet. I am talking to your teacher.
Yes, Mother.
Right, yes, well, beyond that, there are pagan suggestions in these stories. The names are Gog, Magog, and Molech.
Molech appears in the Old Testament, sir. God of the Canaanites. Leviticus 18:21.
Don't quote scripture at me, boy. Do you see what I mean about his presence alone being disruptive? I can't imagine what it's like when it's just the two of you.
It is always perfectly pleasant, Mr. Chambers.
Right. Well, he's a voracious reader. Constantly in the library, particularly now he's out of physical education. Isn't that right, Mr. Carter?
No, no. Tick, tick, tick.
Mr. Carter?
Over there.
Mr. Carter?
Over there. What's that? Strikes me he's got his strategy all worked out. No cross-country for you, eh, lad? You, boy. Over there. Gary. Gary!
Will this take much longer, Mr. Chambers? Is there anything else you wish to bring to my attention?
Actually, there is. The characters in his stories share names with children in his class. They all meet rather unpleasant ends. Now, I'm not sure if it's a revenge fantasy or something.
Real names add to the narrative, sir.
Be quiet, boy. You really are a stain that won't wash out, aren't you?
Some men lack vision, sir.
Although he's a slip of a child, I have seen the power that malice can bring. It is a worry.
I think you've said enough, Mr. Chambers. Arthur, we're leaving.
Yes, Mother. Can you feel it, sir? Just beneath the surface? Reality writes itself.
Strange, strange child.
It's waiting. Thank you, Mother.
Don't thank me, Arthur. I wish you were never born. Your father would still be here if it wasn't for you. Do you know that? Mr. Chambers may be a boor, but he was right about one thing. You are a stain that won't wash out. No matter how hard I scrub.
Yes, I understand.
That was an upsetting scene in there. You have been warned about your behaviour. You need to at least pretend to be like everyone else. Life will be easier that way. Safer. I can swear to that. Since your father died, I've been but a hollow mask. Watch me and learn. It will help when you are older and I am long gone.
Thank you, Mother.
Look at me. Remember, no tears.
Welcome, this way, please. I'm glad you could make it at such short notice. I'm sure you understand how this sort of thing goes. You're never quite sure when an appointment will open up.
Of course. I'm glad I was at home to take the call. Arthur's been struggling of late, so your timing was most opportune.
Have you been given a run-through of the treatment? The various stages and what to expect with regard to aftercare, and the risk?
Dr. Bissett gave me an outline over the phone. None of the particulars, though. If I'm honest, much of it was lost on me.
Quite. Well, it's a novel procedure, and there have been some quite startling results.
What's that sound?
No, the machine. It's building the charge necessary for the treatment to bring your son back to himself. Arthur? I'm going to show you some images. They'll be made up of different colored shapes and patterns. I want you to tell me what you see, whatever springs to mind first, however much or little it may be. Keep watching the images and tell us what you see in between the pulses. Now, are you ready, Arthur?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Let us begin.
There's a man, patting a smile on a wall. He looks cold. I see an angel flying over a city on ruby wings.
Two birds take flight from the shoulders of a statue, standing in a dried-up pond. Three figures climbing up a cliff, lit by the moon. Three men around a fire. One's on his knees, crying. A dark tunnel that has train tracks that runs under a river. A smoky table and 13 people playing cards. A woman sitting with her head cocked, listening. A butcher is cutting up some meat.
Thank you for meeting me here today, Mother. I know we're not much of a family for marking the passage of years, so it does mean a lot to me. You said you wanted to speak to me. Why did you want to meet here?
I have always loved this bridge. The view of the city rolling out below like a blanket spilled on the grass, and its inhabitants flowing along the tarmac river beneath us.
Yes, I believe I can see it too.
We didn't have the easiest life together, you and I. After your father passed, I'm afraid I was left without much light to give.
Oh, don't be silly, Mother. You were a perfectly adequate caregiver.
Thank you, son. I do have two things to give you. The first is the final letter your father sent. I never opened it. The wound is still raw.
Thank you. Thank you, Mother. What was the other thing?
Freedom. Don't worry. I've made sure you'll be provided for.
What do you... No, Mother, please. Get down. No, Mother.
You all right there, mate? What'd she say? You were talking to her. Who was she?
That was my mother.
Christ. Don't look down there, mate. Don't look.
She landed on a red car.
Please, don't hang up.
Why are you calling? It's over, Arthur.
It doesn't have to be. We can run it again and choose different parts. See how our story develops this time around.
We tried that before. I told you, I'm done. I don't want to be a character in your fucked up life. I don't even know if you like real people. Please, stop calling.
You can't mean that. You're all that's keeping me tethered. I can't continue without you. You mean everything to me.
That's cliched even for you, Arthur. I've heard it all before, from your mouth and your characters. It doesn't work anymore.
You are so ungrateful, so draining. All you do is hold me down.
Then stop calling. This is goodbye.
I didn't mean it.
And the winner is Arthur Crane for his short story collection, Reality Writes Itself.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. You can't imagine how much this means to me. All those years of toil and sweat, and finally recognized by my peers. Really, it means a lot. And such an illustrious award to most promising newcomer. What a title. Yes. Although I do find it a little funny how this recognition has chosen to manifest. I mean, most promising is flattering, but newcomer? I've been working on this for years. Even self-published a few of my early works. I mean, we all know how hard the publishing industry is, right? Well, like I was saying, it really is an honour to receive some recognition, regardless of the shape that it's chosen to...
Mr. Crane, I'm sorry. There are other prizes.
What? What? But I haven't thanked anyone.
A round of applause for the winner, Arthur Crane! Come on now, off the stage.
And I'd like to thank my mother. You're my guiding light. Oh, what was that? Oh, what was that? Where? Oh, of course, in the booth, where else would I be? Did they hear that? No, it's not possible. Well, did you, dear listener? I suppose I should welcome you back to Tales Beneath the Surface, but it seems a little redundant. You've been here all along, after all. Did your mother never tell you it's rude to listen in on other people's confessions? Mine did. My. All these voyeurs peering in uninvited. Of course, I brought it on myself, dear listeners. Can hardly maintain an audience's interest without bearing a little of your soul. I promise I won't hold it against you. No, certainly not. The one question remains at the front of my mind. Did you hear something true? Did all that happen? Or was it all just a tawdry bit of theatre? An exposé of the sad and disappointing life of this pathetic narrator, dredging pity from his audience. A man has to eat, I suppose. Though I wonder, I really do. Neither option fills me with joy. Maybe there's another way. Well, we'll have to wait and see, won't we, dear listeners? Because, after all, reality writes itself.
Location?
Finnegan Alley, Walthamstow.
The meter is running. Should be there in 10 minutes. I drop you outside the church. There is space to turn around there.
Fine.
In a black cab now, Sash? When did you get time to do the knowledge? Nothing to say. Haven't seen you in a minute, Sash. When was the last time? Must have been the Parsons. You rolled in just as we finished up. Always late to the party, ain't you?
It's you. Suka. Party. I remember you left me a mess. Plenty of fun and games, eh? Why were you there? It never made sense. Place was wrecked. Bodies everywhere. No witnesses, right? Blame it on the gangs again. Suka. I was told it wasn't you. I don't believe. I see you. There's corpses nearby.
Come on, Sash. Why the hostility? You've forgotten about professional courtesy now you're driving? Even then, I'd expect a bit more friendliness. You're fucking yourself out of a tip here, mate. And looking at where you are, I imagine you need every penny you can get. I'll be honest. I think you're in the wrong line of work here.
Bitch, what do you want? Please stop to bother me, leave. Words bore me, your words especially. Try steel instead. Leave each other with a few more holes. Let in some light and air, yes? Maybe next time you think before poking a bear.
Still the same old prickly pear you were all those years ago. You know what? Maybe I'll take you up on that offer there, my pedigree chum. But first, Sasha, you're looking flustered. You feeling hot? Yeah. Hot. And the car? Yes, the car is buckling and closing in, and...
You forget I know what you are. Try that again and I'll take your voice and hide it somewhere you'll never think to look. Clear, Suka.
You're causing a scene, Sasha. Let him go.
You still can't take a joke, uptight prick. Once this is over, let's have a meet-up somewhere nice and private. You can even stuff your ears with wax if you like. We can see who'll be poking who.
Are you done? I can barely breathe over the macho stink. If it brings an end to it, no, I'm ever so impressed. You're both such big and strong and violent men. And I'm sure it would be a fight to end all fights forever and ever. Amen. Now, are you done? Good. Drive, Sasha. Now to business. As long as we're moving, we can talk. We've heard you're a free agent now, Sasha. That you've parted ways with your little outfit.
No. There is nothing you can offer me.
Listen. This is important.
Listen to him, you big dumb bastard. Please. We've got a problem, and as much as it sticks in my throat to admit it, you could help.
Like I said, I am out. I'm not looking for that kind of work anymore, and even if I was, I would not come to you.
What the fuck do you mean by that?
Peace. peace. Set it aside. This is bigger than your petty egos.
Tell him then.
Here it comes. There's been a change of late. I'm sure you would notice it if you thought about it. And if someone, say me, took the time to point it out.
What are you saying?
Just think now. Maybe back to the last job you had. Or however you managed to cut ties with your previous compatriots. Now, was there anything particularly apt or trite or somewhat contrived about it?
What do you mean?
Did you feel like a loose end was finally tied up? Or that life was playing out scenes you saw in your dreams? Or that everything suddenly slotted into place, each domino falling? Or something unexpected suddenly resolved? Or were you dragged back just for one more job? I see that hit a nerve.
How can you...
Stop speaking. Listen. There's something emerging. It feels like a cloud of morning mist rising from a field, then hanging in the air, visible until the sun burns it off. It's still there, though. That morning mist. You just can't see it. It's suffused everything.
You're speaking in riddles.
Yes. Yes, I am. Think about that, too. Why might I be doing that? I'm going to tell you a story now. Keep what I'm telling you in mind, and it might come to pass. Now, my mother was a saint, and my father a devil. And between them, they raised a man you see in your rearview mirror. Keep your eyes on the road, if you don't mind. A true union of opposites. They complemented each other. Despite disagreeing on almost everything, their contrast highlighted the virtues and vices of the other. Yes. Yes. You could say that. Now, one thing they agreed on, the thing that welded them together, was the importance of stories. They both believed they led a life outside of their telling. There was one story they told regularly. I'm sure you've heard it before. That of the little boy who cried wolf, then got eaten up when one came along. They told it with one key difference. The little boy didn't suffer because he was a liar, given up to the big bad wolf when it finally appeared. Already exiled because no one believed him. No. That was not it at all. He was a prophet. A rural Cassandra. The villagers as deaf as they were in Troy. That little boy suffered because he felt the wolf emerging. It itched at the back of his skull, scratching around in the shadowed dark of his dreams, prowling amongst the memories half forgotten and abandoned. So he sang it to him. He couldn't help it. His premature warnings drew the wolf in. They laid down the scent for it to follow, beating out a clear path. And it dragged itself out from the story. Out into the fleshy world of bloody teeth and tearing claws. He drew it to him, and it feasted. There was no escape. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Am I the boy?
Oh, no. No. The boy is elsewhere. What he's pulling through, though, is what you can feel. It's already bleeding over, pulling the threads together, just under the surface.
Wait, you're saying...
No. Stop thinking. This isn't the time for that. Never know who's listening. You know we didn't set out to have this meeting. It would be quite the trick to pick out and hail down just the right cab. Strange, don't you think?
And yet here you are, in the back of my cab, pulling me back in.
Can you bear the cliche? He can.
What?
Not you.
We're here, Vinegar Alley, 22 pound.
Here you are. And a little something extra for the trouble. If you can face it, it'll be worth your while. You could say everything is on the line. A final tip. Don't open it here. Wait till you're somewhere in between. Go for a walk, perhaps. See what clicks into place with the rhythm of your steps in the privacy of your mind.
Be seeing you soon, no doubt.
No doubt.
Later, big man.